Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today we're getting into a really foundational book for anyone thinking about starting something new. Chris Schiobo's The $100 Startup.
Yeah, it's super relevant, especially now, wouldn't you say? Because it really pushes back hard against that old idea that you need like tons of cash or a fancy degree to start a business.
Totally. He basically says, look, those things, they're kind of optional myths these days.
Right. And you see so many people feeling, well, stuck, maybe unhappy in their jobs, worried about the economy.
Yeah, looking for more freedom, more fulfillment, you know, something outside that typical 9-to-5 grind. Mm-hmm. So this deep dive, it's really for anyone wondering how you could maybe fund a different kind of life.
Mm-hmm. So our mission today is to really unpack the core ideas. What's the actual blueprint here? How can, you know, a regular person, maybe just starting with a small side project, how can they build a real income without taking huge financial risks, like sometimes literally starting with $100 or even less?
Okay, let's kick things off with the author, Chris Schiobo himself, because he's kind of the perfect example of his own ideas, isn't he?
He really is a serial entrepreneur, author, and famously the guy who visited every single country in the world before he turned 35.
Which is just incredible. And the way he funded that through these small ventures, these micro businesses he talks about in the book.
Exactly. And it's not just his own story. He's pretty central to that whole lifestyle design movement. He runs the World Domination Summit every year.
Right. And wrote The Art of Nonconformity, too.
What makes his angle unique, I think, is his focus on lifestyle businesses.
Ah, yeah. That's a key distinction.
It is, because these aren't about, you know, scaling like crazy, becoming a unicorn startup, chasing venture capital, none of that.
No, they're built specifically to support the life the founder actually wants to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, freedom and time are the real goals, not just growth for growth's sake.
Mm-hmm. And his credibility, it's not just anecdotal. The book is packed with data. He studied like over 1,500 entrepreneurs.
Wow, 1,500.
Yeah, real people who started small, minimal cash, but built businesses earning, you know, $50,000 a year or more. He looked for the patterns, what actually worked consistently.
So boiling it down, the big idea is pretty simple.
Yeah.
Starting a business is more accessible than ever. You don't need permission from anyone. You don't need a huge pile of money.
Right. And success, he says, happens at this thing he calls the convergence principle.
Okay, what's that?
It's like a Venn diagram, sort of. You've got your passion, something you love or are good at. Then you've got marketable skills tied to that. And the third crucial circle is a real market need. Where those three overlap, that's the sweet spot.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. Because passion alone is just a hobby.
Exactly. And if you've got a skill that solves a problem but you hate doing it, well, you've just made yourself another job you don't like.
Right. So the book is really aimed at anyone who wants that blend.
Yeah.
Doing something they care about, but also having that freedom. The artist, the person stuck in a cubicle.
Mm-hmm. And the book itself kind of takes you on this journey. It starts with mindset stuff, getting past those limiting beliefs, the I don't have enough money or I don't have a killer idea excuses.
Yeah, the mental blocks.
Then it shifts straight into action. How to check if people actually want what you're offering, how to start super lean, how to find customers without spending a fortune.
And that's where the low risk part really comes in, I think. He's all about taking action now, even if it's small. Yeah. Testing things out, seeing what customers say, and then adjusting.
Yeah, none of this bit the farm stuff. It's more like start a side project, see if it works, learn from it, maybe grow it gradually. Don't just quit your job and hope for the best.
That gradual, accessible path is really appealing. Okay, let's get into the nitty gritty. Part one, finding your idea.
Right. So, chapter two, give them the fish. This is fundamental. Your main job in any business is to solve someone's problem or fulfill a desire they have.
And the focus has got to be on the benefits for the customer, yeah. Not just listing the features of what you sell.
Absolutely. It's all about usefulness. Success comes when your passion or skill actually helps someone in a tangible way.
You use that Gary Leff example, right?
Yeah.
Travel hacking guy.
Yeah, perfect example. This guy was obsessed with frequent flyer miles, credit card points, figuring out how to travel super cheap or free.
Pretty niche hobby.
Totally niche. But he realized lots of people want to travel cheaply but find it complicated. So he turned his obsession into an information business, teaching others how to do it. He solved their problem, the high cost of travel, using his specific knowledge.
So it's that shift in thinking, not just what do I love, but How does what I love help someone else? But okay, isn't the starting part the hardest? All the planning, the official stuff, people get stuck there.
He totally gets that, which is why part two is all about the launch. He champions this ready, fire, aim idea. Action first, then adjust.
Fire before aiming?
Sort of.
Yeah.
It means don't wait for perfect. Get something out there. And to kill procrastination, he suggests the one-page business plan.
I love that. Not some massive document that nobody reads.
Exactly. It just forces you to answer three basic questions fast. One, what are you selling? Two, who's going to buy it? And three, how will you actually get paid?
Simple. Practical. It's designed to get you moving, not impress investors.
Right. So once you've fired that first version, you need customers. That's the hustle chapter. And it's not about slick ads.
No, it's more about authentic connection, right? Being helpful.
Yeah, for these kinds of small businesses, marketing is really about building relationships, genuinely helping people out.
And that relationship, that trust, presumably helps when it comes to pricing. Show me the money.
Definitely. He pushes hard for pricing based on the value you deliver, not just how long it took you or what it cost you.
That's a big jump for people used to charging by the hour.
Huge. But think about it. If your advice saves a client, say, 10 grand a year, is charging them $1,000 for an hour of your time unfair? The value is massive. You get paid for the result.
Okay, so you've launched, you're making some money based on value.
Yeah.
Then what? How do you improve?
That leads into Tweaking Your Way to the Bank, Chapter 7. It's all about small, consistent improvements. Things like A-B testing, just trying two different headlines on your website, see which works better.
Listening to customer feedback, making changes quickly.
Exactly. Little adjustments that add up. And then when things are working, you think about scaling, but not in the traditional way.
Right. Part three. Scaling for the lifestyle entrepreneur doesn't mean, like, hiring a huge team and getting fancy offices.
I usually know. It often means franchising yourself, using systems, automation, maybe creating digital products.
Like online courses or ebooks, like that David Simon Garland example.
Right. Yeah, people like him. They create something once a course, a guide, and can sell it many times. It expands their reach and income without them constantly trading hours for dollars. That's key for maintaining freedom.
That idea of decoupling time from income, that's the dream for many, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's crystallize some of the core messages here for, you know, for everyone listening.
Okay, first big one, action over analysis. Seriously, the biggest thing stopping people is often trying to get everything perfect before they start.
Yeah, analysis paralysis.
Neil Bo basically says, launch the imperfect thing. The learning you get from real-world feedback is way more valuable than endless planning.
So a quick reflection for you listening. What's one small, maybe slightly messy action you could take this week on that project you've been putting off? Just get it out there.
Second key theme, value creation is everything. Profit, loyal customers. It all comes from genuinely helping people, solving their problems. It's not just about making money, it's about making a difference, however small.
Hmm. So maybe ask yourself, if money wasn't the only goal for a moment, what actual problem could you help a specific group of people solve? Focus on their pain point.
And the third one, the power of small markets. You don't need a world-changing, revolutionary idea. Most successful small businesses just do something existing, but maybe better or faster or for a very specific niche group.
Right. You don't need to appeal to everyone. You just need a better mousetrap for a small, passionate audience who really needs it.
Mm-hmm. And the book has some great punchy lines that really stick with you.
Yeah, like that magic formula one.
Exactly. The magic formula is this. Passion or skill plus usefulness excess success. Super simple framework to check if an idea has legs.
And the one that just cuts through all the bureaucracy. You don't need a business plan. You need to go to work.
Love that one. It's like permission to just start. Stop planning, start doing.
And this one really speaks to the lifestyle goal. Freedom isn't free, but it's worth every penny you don't spend on it.
Yeah. Puts the focus squarely on autonomy, on controlling your time, rather than just piling up cash.
Okay, so how can people apply this stuff, like right now? Let's talk practical applications. Career change, maybe.
Well, the gradual approach is perfect for that. Don't quit your day job tomorrow. Start a side hustle first.
Right. Monetize a skill you already have, writing, design, maybe tutoring something specific.
Yeah, use that to test the waters, see if people will actually pay, build some confidence, maybe save up a little buffer before making a big leap.
And thinking about financial security. The book really points towards having multiple small income streams, doesn't it?
It does. Rather than relying on one big salary from one employer, maybe you have some consulting work, you sell a small digital product, you do some freelance gigs.
It sounds potentially more secure in a way, more control.
And that ties into skill development. Focus on learning practical skills that solve real problems people will pay for. Learn by doing, by actually building things, not just by getting another certificate.
For me, what really hit home was just how many normal people he profiles. It wasn't just tech geniuses or people with family money.
Right. Ordinary folks finding a way.
It makes you realize the biggest roadblocks are usually in our own heads. The fear, the doubt, the waiting for perfect, not usually a lack of money.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest shift the book offers is this idea that entrepreneurship doesn't have to be this huge, scary, high-risk thing. It can be accessible, low-cost, and fundamentally a tool to design a life you actually want to live. As long as you stay focused on creating real value, it's kind of a roadmap to freedom, really.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.